I want to talk this morning about probably the most important thing that we can do as Christians, and not get, we shouldn't get caught in a trap. Anybody ever been caught in a trap before? You ever had people kind of set you up? And I have. And if we're not careful, many times we think we're following the leading of the Spirit, and it's not the leading of the Spirit, but it involves the Spirit. And so I just want to talk to the church this morning, just good old fundamental teaching. Thank you all for singing this morning. And revelatory, you might say, but I do think it's very important. Sometimes you've got to preach to the church. A lot of times we try to reach sinners, and sometimes I try to help you out of your problems and things like this and life applications, but sometimes you just got to talk to the church. And most of the letters that Paul wrote was to what? The church. It was to the church. It wasn't really to individuals. It certainly wasn't to sinners. And this is where many people go wrong in studying their Bible, looking for a plan of salvation. They'll take some letters that Paul wrote to the church, and they'll use that as their plan of salvation. He was not talking to sinners. He was talking to saints. So we need the only book that tells you how to be saved in the very beginning is the book of what? The book of Acts. Because it was the actions of the apostles. The rest of the books are about the perfecting of the saints. That's one of the most fundamental things you need to know about studying your Bible and coming to conclusions about salvation. Salvation started in the book of Acts with the gift of the Holy Ghost. From then on, once you receive the Holy Ghost, it's all about perfection. It's all about being perfected. And that's why I said I give you the fivefold ministry that we've mentioned many times for the perfecting of the saints. So if you'll stand this morning, I want to read to you one verse of Scripture, and I have many other Scriptures I want to read to you, time permitting, along these lines. Romans 8 and 14 is my text this morning. It said, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God." Many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So this morning, I want to use this as a text and talk to you about the leading of the Spirit. The leading. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Would you pray with me? God, I ask you this morning, hallelujah, believing that we are the sons of God and we follow the leading of the Spirit, that we do look to heaven with expecting, Lord, that you do provide those things that we need. For you, Lord, would not deny us of anything, any good gift. Lord, you said you are desirous to give unto your children. So, Lord, let us make sure and steadfast that we are following the leading of the Spirit in everything that we do. And we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. The Bible refers to a man's journey as walking, right? The Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. Just right there in that it says, Brother Manuel, the steps, it lets me know it's a journey. See, people forget. They think, I'm saved. Just as soon as you get the Holy Ghost, you do whatever you do, I'm saved. No, it's a journey, my friend. And he said, the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. So that right there lets me know I've got to walk this thing out. It's not a one-step thing. He said the step of a good man. It is the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. So in this journey, my brothers and sisters, you're either walking, Paul made it very clear, we don't have time to go over all the scriptures that Paul talked about. You're either walking in the Spirit or you're walking in the flesh. You're walking in either one. And remember, I'm telling you, he's writing to a church. So let's not say, oh, those people out there in the world today, they're walking in the flesh, and I'm walking in the Spirit. I want to talk to the church about people that are Christians walking in the flesh or walking in the Spirit. And so when we look at Romans 8 and 5, he said, for they that are after, everyone say after. That means you're behind, right? You're coming from behind. They that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and... See, you can have life and not have peace. I talk to people all the time, they're supposed to be living for God, have no peace. And the reason they have no peace is they're minding the things of the flesh. The flesh always brings contentment and dissatisfaction. It always brings frustration and confusion. But we will read a scripture that the Lord is not the author. of this confusion. So we need to sometimes talk to the church about reevaluating what you're following, how you talk, how you walk, what you do. Hallelujah. For he says, those that are carnally minded do mind. What does that word mean? It means they tend to the things of the flesh. And those that are spiritually minded, they mind the things of the Spirit. So Paul is letting us know that we are all followers. We are likened unto sheep, right? And so you're a follower. I taught a chapel, I think it was, for where Sister Giot works, and I talked to those kids about being an instrument, and a guitar is just a guitar. That's all it is. It's whose hands it's in as to what it does. He said, you're an instrument. So it's all about whose hands you're in, because the same guitar can do evil or it can do good, you see? So it's whose hands you're in. So you and I are merely an instrument. We are followers. And so I want to talk to you about following the Spirit this morning and not the flesh. Now, I'm not talking about flesh and blood. I'm talking about fleshly minded, carnally minded. Because you can be, quote unquote, a Christian, still be carnally minded. So Paul is not writing, once again, to a lot of sinners. He's writing to a Holy Ghost-filled believing church. And he said, we need to be careful that we do not mind or walk in the flesh. He talks later about warring one against another. My brethren, why should this be? What y'all arguing about? What's all this confusion about? And so we need to understand that the Bible says that the Holy Ghost is what? A leader and a what? A guide. And it will lead you and guide you into all truth. So we want to follow the leading of the Holy Ghost. He gave you the Holy Ghost to lead you. But you can have the Holy Ghost, and guess what? Still be carnally minded and still be confused about life itself, wondering even, why am I here? What is my purpose? These kind of things you need to understand falls back on being carnally minded, because I'm going to tell you the one reason you're here is to worship Him. It's to worship Him. And when you dig deeper than that, you try to come up with these reasons that are become carnally minded. You are here to worship Him, whether it be in just praise, in prayer, in song, in witness, whatever it is, He called you to worship Him. And when you worship Him, you follow Him. You always follow who you worship. That's who you follow. So people that have the Holy Ghost many times can still do wrong. And I'm not talking about the sins, the works of the flesh. They still do wrong because they don't follow the leading of the Spirit of God. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So the Spirit of God is referred to as the Father, right? That's the Spirit of God. Even Jesus said he prayed to the Father, which was the Spirit of God. And it was the Spirit of God that overshadowed Mary and had Jesus, right? So the Spirit of God is the Father, and he says, as many as follow the Father, the leading of the Spirit, they are the sons. See, they were born into this thing to be the sons of God. Now, this may sound very strange, but you can be of God or born of God and still not follow God. I had a son and I had a daughter. They didn't have to follow me, right? But they were my son and my daughter, but they didn't. They didn't have to follow me. So you can be born into this thing and never follow the leading of the Spirit. So, oh yeah, I got the Holy Ghost and I got saved back. Well, that's good. But are you following the leading of the Spirit? So I want to show you something this morning has been revealed to me as I studied once again the temptation of Christ in the wilderness. And it may not be profound to you, but it was a revelation to me as I began to study this. And I preached about this before from this text, but never quite like this. If you will, let's look at Luke chapter 4 and verse 1. Luke 4 and 1. Jesus has been baptized, you know, of John. He's beginning to follow the leading. You know, the heavens opened up and said, this is my beloved Son whom I'm well pleased. So now he's beginning to follow the leading of the Spirit. So Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan, where he was baptized of John, and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. The Spirit was the leader, and Jesus was the follower. get that in your noggin this morning so you can understand the rest of this. Jesus was following the leading of the Spirit as it brought him into a wilderness place. And let me tell you, when you read in the Bible about the wilderness is always a place where the flesh is tempted. It is a place where not the Spirit, but rather the flesh is tempted. This is where that carnal man is tempted to come out of you, to find out what's still left in you. Did it not say that Israel tempted him in the wilderness? They didn't tempt him in Canaan's land. They tempted him in the wilderness. And for that reason, God overthrew them. Because you know why? They decided they didn't want to follow Moses anymore. They decided they didn't want to follow the leading of Moses, who got it from God. They'd rather go back to where they came from. This is where the wilderness is where, in your troubles, if you will, is where you find out who you're following. Because he had a cloud there, he had a fire there, he had manna there, but they were not pleased. He was leading them to the promised land, but they were impatient to get there. It was steps. It was steps that were ordered of the Lord, not one step. He didn't say, "Beam me up, Scotty." It's not that quick. It's steps you have to take to get to the promised land. So I want to bring out some key points with these things in mind this morning. When we look at verse 2, he's in the wilderness being tempted of the devil, led of the Spirit, and being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. So the Spirit of the Lord led him into the wilderness to be tempted. And now you have another voice that shows up. There is always, my brothers and sisters, a leading voice. There's always a leading voice. In the Bible, go back to Genesis, and we're going to go back there a couple times. You go back to Genesis, and the voice of the Lord, right? Walk through the cool of the day. The voice of the Lord was there. And that was the leading voice. Today you have candidates. They got, I don't know how many Republicans they got running. And one of them's trying to become the leading voice so he can have the voice, you see, of that party and eventually be the president, and he's the leading voice. You always have a leading voice. I'm hopefully this morning the leading voice for this church. And so when you look at God, was the Lord God was the leading voice in the garden. And then another voice showed up. And if we go back and look that back in the very beginning, you will find that another voice showed up and began to talk to Eve. And she, listen, instead of hearkening to the voice of the Lord, she hearkened to the voice of the serpent. And the serpent became the leading voice. And then when he asked Adam, "What made you fall?" he said, "You hearkened to the voice of the woman." So she became his leading voice instead of hearkening to the voice or the leading. This is what I'm trying to teach you this morning, the leading of the Spirit. Now, I know it's not as much audible words as you would maybe like to say the Lord said, but if you have the Holy Ghost, there is a voice inside of you. Even Christ, when he came, Brother Johnson, he had a leading voice, John the Baptist. They said, "Are you the Christ?" He said, "No, I'm a voice. I am the leading voice preparing the way for the Spirit of God." And so verse 3 says, "And the devil said unto him," now watch, you see, in the garden, he talked to Eve. Now he's talking to Christ. "And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone to be made bread." So again, going back, let's go back to Genesis 3 and 1. "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said." Now this is the first recorded words of the voice of the devil. First recorded words. He said something God had already said. He didn't say something original. He said something God had already said. I want to talk to you about the leading of the Spirit. Because many times you think because God said it, it's the Spirit. Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? He engaged her with conversation. He repeated something that God said. Surely, if you say something God said, it can't be ungodly, can it? Oh, yeah. Yeah. It depends on how you say it, when you say it, and who you say it to. But you can act like, well, this is of God. And so the Spirit of God in the garden was challenged by another voice, and the woman hearkened to that voice, and it brought forth death. And it was something God said. And the tree did look good to make one wise. It was pleasant to the eyes. It was good for food. What's ungodly about that? Because God said, don't touch it. Okay. And so the spirit of the flesh says unto Jesus, the spirit of the flesh said to Jesus, because Satan is the spirit of the flesh, if thou be the Son of God, why don't you command this stone to be made to bread? How many of you believe Jesus is capable of doing that? Well, sure, he's capable of turning. He even said in one place, if you shut these people up where they don't cry Hosanna unto me, these stones will cry out to me. So he's capable. If he can break two fishes and five loaves of bread and feed 5,000, surely he can turn a stone. So he was not asking necessarily an ungodly thing. It looked godly to say, well, why don't you turn this stone into bread? You're hungry. You see, I want to talk about the leading of the Spirit. I'm here to tell you he was in the wilderness to see which voice he would follow. So it would be easy to say, you know, you're right. Stone be made into bread. He just followed him. He just followed him. Even though it doesn't look ungodly. So Jesus answered him saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but every word of God. So I just because God said it, it's not the right time for me to do it at your command. I've heard people say, well, if God said, then let lightning strike me. All this kind of stuff. So changing stones to bread was in within the realms of God's capability. But he would have been following the command of the enemy. Test two. And the devil taking him up. Wait. The devil leading him. The devil was leading him. As many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. But now we find he's led of the Spirit into the wilderness and the devil taking him up. Now, y'all help me with this if I'm wrong, but it looks like Jesus is following. If the devil's taking him up, that means he went first and here goes Jesus behind him. Into a high mountain, shoot unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Okay? The devil led him up. This is a test to see if you will follow him. Will you follow the flesh or will you follow the leading of the Spirit? And the devil said unto him, all this will I give thee and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whosoever I will give it, if thou therefore wilt worship me. See, follow me. You always, what you worship is what you follow. All shall be thine. See, he's in temptation. Temptation is not a sin. This is what I want to show you. Temptation is not a sin. In that he went up to the high mountain was not a sin. But if he did what he said, it becomes a sin. And Jesus answered and said, get thee behind me. So this lets me know that he was in front. He was following the leading of Satan as he went up the mountain. But when he said, it's time for you to worship me, he said, no, get thee behind me. Satan, for it is written that thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And I want you to notice that he's telling him, get behind him, just like he told Peter, the apostle Peter, who said, oh, let's don't go to Jerusalem and suffer, be it far from you. And he looked at him, he said, I'm not following that lead. Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest the things of the flesh. You can follow the leading of the Spirit, or you can follow the leading of the flesh and still think you're doing the will of God. This is what's scary to me. Test number three. And he brought him to Jerusalem, and he brought him, yeah, to Jerusalem, and he set him on a pinnacle of the temple. This is where all the dignitaries would sit, way up in the top where they could overlook. And said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. For it is written, it's godly, and he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against the stone. And Jesus answered and said unto him, it is said that thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. See, there's nothing ungodly about the Scripture. So he's quoting a godly thing to a godly man, but it's at his command. And when the devil had ended all temptation, he departed from him for a season. And verse 14 says, and Jesus returned in the power, or the leading of the Spirit, into Galilee, and there went out a fame from him throughout all the region about. Then we get to verse 18 where he says, and the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to do these things. So he followed the leading of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted. My brothers and sisters, I want you to understand that this whole journey through the wilderness was to see if he would change leaders. And what did the devil use? A woman? No. He used money? No. He used hatred and strife? And no. He used none of the works of the flesh. None of the works of the flesh. He used Scripture. He used what appeared to be a godly thing. But if it's used at the command of the wrong person, it has become an ungodly thing. And this is where I want to talk to the church. Because we have to be careful that we don't become ungodly doing a godly thing. My. If Jesus would have done one of these three things, he would have failed, because he would have submitted himself to the voice of the serpent, just as Eve submitted herself to the voice of the serpent in the garden. The unrecognized temptation of Christians is not envy, it is not lust, it is not hatred, it is not jealousy. The unrecognized temptations of Christians is to follow the leading of the flesh, thinking they're doing a godly thing. Even Paul, killing people, said he thought he did God service. And so we have to be careful, because your worst enemy is not the works of the flesh. Because you know what? If any of you did the works of the flesh, you go, oh, that's not right. Oh, I'm sorry, Lord. Forgive me for this. But when you do things that seem to be spiritual, you don't have that same feeling that I've done wrong, unless you're really sensitive to the leading of the Spirit. So I've been in church a long time, and I'm sure some of you have been in church longer than me. And how do you know the leading of the Spirit is not the Spirit of God, but the Spirit of the flesh, when you're doing a godly thing? Here's the answer. When you edify yourself. In all of these three things, Christ would have edified himself. if thou be the Son of God. He would have edified himself and not the kingdom. There was no kingdom business here. It was all about, it would have been all about him and his needs. And whenever it becomes about you and yours and not about the church, you begin to follow the leading of the flesh. Now, I'm going to get a little bit deeper in this. Because I believe in speaking in tongues. I believe in tongues interpretation. I believe in the use of tongues and all this kind of thing. But I do want to tell you that speaking in tongues, if it's done wrong, can look like a godly thing and be far from godly. And the same thing with interpretation, the same thing with many things. You can sing a beautiful song up here, beautiful song, but if it edifies you, you just did a godly thing in an ungodly way. I think I heard somebody say back there, Lord, help us. That's exactly right. Lord, help us. And this is why I want to talk to the church this morning. We must be constantly led by the Spirit and not by the spirit of the flesh. We must tell pride to get thee behind me. If pride goes ahead of you, you will fall. We must get pride behind us. And so Paul spent much of one chapter, we'll only touch on it this morning, in Corinthians, talking to a church about how to run a church decently and in order. And I think perhaps some of the greatest criticism that I've had, not necessarily from you, is I am a very disciplined person. I'm very orderly. And so I don't want to be so orderly that I can't follow the leading of the Spirit, okay? Because I don't want the flesh to be so orderly. But at the same time, if you're not orderly, things get chaotic. There's got to be some order in everything. That's why the judge has a gavel, right? And he finally had enough. He bang, bang, order in the court. Okay? And what happened? He let it get out of order. And so in a church, I'm afraid whole churches have become out of order because they become led by the flesh, doing a spiritual-looking thing, but it's really the flesh. 1 Corinthians 14 and 6. Now, brethren, I come unto you speaking with tongues. I come to you. I'm going to get up here and I'm just going to start speaking in tongues. He said, what shall I profit you except I speak to you either by one of these four things? I speak to you by revelation. See, what I'm trying to show you in those three temptations of Jesus is revelation. I'm trying to reveal to you. Let's just say God anointed me. I could say it all in tongues. The whole thing I could just say in tongues. You didn't get anything out of that. Anything. So you either speak by revelation or by knowledge or by prophesying or by doctrine. No matter how anointed you feel, if there does not edify the church and it edifies you, it has become wrong. Jesus could have turned those stones into bread. It didn't edify anything but the devil. Because he's the one that requested it. So notice that Satan didn't tempt Christ with any of the works of the flesh. He tempted him to do something that appeared to be godly but would have become ungodly based upon the request of Satan and the timing in which he did it. So Paul goes on in verse 11 of the same chapter, therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian, and he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. It's just, I don't understand you. I've tried to work. I communicate to China several times on some projects I got going on. And I told David, I said, the hardest thing is communication. Because they can say words that it doesn't make sense to put it in that sentence. Like, if you sell any of these on earth. Well, I know what she means, or if you sell any of these any other place on the world, you know, but we don't use that term. And by the time I say what I want to say and this other girl on the other side who can speak both languages interprets it, it's not the same. It's just like I could tell Sister Baggett something, you tell her and you tell her. By the time it gets to you, it's not the same. I promise you. So Paul said in this one place, he said, I wish you all said the same thing. Even so, ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, you're abusing them. Even though you're zealous, he said, one got a song, one got a praise, one got a tongue, one got a prophecy, and it gets out of order. Ye are zealous of spiritual gifts. Seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. Lord, if I'm going to speak something out in tongues, Lord, give me the interpretation of what you just said. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is blank. It's unfruitful. I don't even know what I said. Now, I'm all for you speaking in tongues. You and the Lord just get in. There's time, me and the Lord. Boy, it's just me and the Lord, you know. And in my spirit will pray in that fashion, in that manner. But for me to do that in here, see, it sounds spiritual. Me get up here and just start speaking in tongues. It sounds spiritual. And y'all are like, okay. Who got edified? Hello. Well, it looked godly. See, what I'm trying to tell you, that what Satan wanted Eve to do looked godly. What Satan wanted Jesus to do looked godly. But if done, it become ungodly. What is it then? Verse 15, I will pray with the Spirit. And I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit. I'll let the leading of the Spirit. But I'm going to pray and sing with understanding also. Else, when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say amen? Let it be so at the giving of thanks, seeing that he understandeth not what thou sayest. When you say amen out there, you better understand what I just said. Amen. Verse 32, and the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. Somebody said, I just couldn't help it. No, you can. Because there's times I get up here and I'm praying with people, I could just let her go. It's unprofitable, so I just kind of shut it off so I can pray with understanding. So the spirit of prophets, okay, is subject to the prophet. And I could go back to Balaam and others, but we don't have time this morning. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. Let all things be done. I don't care if it's a party. I don't care if it's a fun fest. I don't care if it's having church or singing. It must be done decently and in order. And too many people get caught up with these spiritual gifts and they want to think they're following the leading of the Spirit, but it's really the leading of the flesh using the Spirit. That's what Satan tried to do with Christ in the wilderness. Change leaders, but use what you got. There will come a day where they'll say, Lord, Lord, did we not cast out devils in thy name? Did we not do these things? He said, depart from me. I never knew you. The Bible talks about churches and people that have a form of godliness, having a form of godliness, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. So here's the question. How do you know when you're following the leading of the Spirit and not the leading of the flesh? How do you know? The answer is really simple. The Spirit will never edify the flesh. The Spirit will never lift up the flesh, for no flesh shall glory in the presence of the Lord. And he has trouble. You see, if people that God gave gifts to, they got so wrapped up in the gift, they forgot the giver. And men go pack houses out to hear so-and-so, and he's already forgot the giver. He's got you now, and he's lifted up. The Bible says that in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, that the man, the son of perdition, will sit in the temple of God declaring he is God, and he will cast down, bring fire down from heaven and all these things, and he will deceive all of those who love not the truth. So he's going to look like God, but not going to be God. But he's going to do the things of God. So we have to be careful that you don't get caught, my brothers and sisters, in a trap thinking somebody is spiritual when he's nothing. Let me tell you, Jesus had a resume that he never presented. See, people present a resume about themselves, it's always in the best light. I've never read anybody's resume that said, I'm going to be late 10 minutes every morning. You can count on it. I won't be here 3 months on this job. You see? But I'm punctual. I want a career.